welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rezac. This is the show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. Hope you're all doing well. I'd like to start this episode off with a quote by Elon Musk, who said, quote, "The real fight is not between the right and the left, but rather between humanists and extinctionists," unquote. Oh-ho. Let's keep that in mind. It's not really between Republicans and Democrats. I know it looks that way at times. I know each side can get reflexively defensive and offensive to one another. However, the battle of who will control this nation and this planet goes so much deeper than that. It's almost laughable to think that the two parties have much to do with this, other than keeping the United States Corporation, affectionately known as the administrative deep state, alive on life support. The coming months will see the cabal in its own death throes, mark my words. As Q has said, we're witnessing the destruction of the old guard, and good riddance, I say. They've done unspeakable things to innocent children and humanity at large. I'm sorry to bring that up again, but it's a fact. Much of this dog and pony show between the cabal and the white hats is the deep state squirming to try to keep the truth from hitting the shores of consensus consciousness. However, it's too late for them, to save themselves or their narrative. We the people know too much. There's too many of us, and none of us are going to shut up about this stuff. Personally, I want to do my part to drive a stake into the heart of vampiric entities that would mean harm to my tribe. And my tribe is humanity, as I've said over and over again. I don't care what color your skin is or your socioeconomic status. I don't care where you were born or what your sexual orientation is. I don't care if you're religious or not. If you care about humans and human children and the future of this beautiful planet, and you know in your soul that we can do better than psychopaths like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab at making decisions that affect the American Republic and we the people, then you're one of us, the White Hats, also known as the Alliance. Oh, you will get called all sorts of names by the propaganda coming out of the enemy's loudspeakers, and it will get picked up and parroted by those that are not awake yet, but such is the nature of war, is it not? Everyone on the left is talking about Joe Biden's dismal debate performance. The CIA-owned mainstream media finally showed the left what patriots have known for years, that Joe Biden is lost in a fog of dementia and is unfit for leadership. I'll say that again. Patriots have known this for years. How? Because it was all over our feeds on Telegram and Rumble and other Anon outlets. Years ago, dear listeners, think about that for a second. The left is having an emotional reaction to something we knew years ago. This won't be the last time this happens. I found a quote I thought I'd include for the episode. I don't know who said it, though, but it's, quote, "The magicians behind the curtains, they know that human consciousness co-creates reality based on what the mind believes to be true and real. The process is amplified when installed in the collective consciousness of the masses. They are projecting what they want into your minds so that you build it for them," unquote. In other words, watch out for all the doomer, gloomer, black pill stuff, like they're too powerful to defeat, they can't be beat. That is what they want you to imagine. We win when we toss that aside and focus on our own sovereignty, dignity, and divinity. They can't touch us if we stand in our God-given freedom. No more tacit agreements with psychopaths that hate us. We are in the process of rewriting all former agreements that are one-sided, benefiting only them, and deceitful, as in we were not given a truthful picture of the situation. See episode 186, Intro to Natural Law, for a deep dive into this. There's never been a more important time to recognize the power of human consciousness to mold thoughts and feelings into the frequency and vibration field that becomes our quote-unquote reality in this dimension. If we take control of this process for the betterment of the human tribe, it's not a whole lot this anti-humanist tribe can do about it, is there? Today, I had the pleasure of sitting around the fire with a young man who has experienced a powerful awakening himself. The discussion is far-ranging and thought-provoking. Let's go get his take on all the things that are unfolding and about to unfold. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Jordan Euclis. Jordan is the host of Entangled, the podcast exploring the science of consciousness, the true nature of reality, and what it means to be a spiritual being having a human experience. He's also currently enrolled at Maharishi International University in a master's program studying consciousness and human potential. Here is my interview with Jordan Euclis. All right, I'm here with Jordan Euclis. Truther, a podcaster, writer, Jordan Euclis. Jordan, welcome to Basecamp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Tony. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, I found you and your work on your excellent podcast, Entangled. We'll talk all about that. But, you know, in particular, I really enjoyed, you did a two-parter episode 61 and 62 titled Globalism versus Self-Governance, How David Defeats Goliath. So how could I not click on that title, right? And so I'm just like, wait a minute, what's this guy doing? And what I found, dude, you did such a great job on that is a long format. I was listening to it both as a fan and also as a podcaster. So I'm like, man, this is a labor of love putting this thing together. Like I was listening to the different segments you had, and knowing what I know about what it takes to make a podcast, I was like, wow, this took some doing, and it was just so well done on a really challenging topic. And I just so enjoyed it. And I reached out. So first of all, great job. And and how often are you doing the pod? How did you start the podcast? Let's just talk about that for a second before we start getting into the war and all the stuff that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. Well, I really appreciate the kind words and the feedback. I'm really glad that you found it and that we were able to connect through the podcast. With regards to frequency, you know, my goal is typically to get out a podcast every other week. I have a full-time job as well in addition to the podcast, so I don't always hit that. Yeah. You know, and to your point, some of those longer ones like the globalism versus self-governance can end up taking much longer than every other week. So I'm kind of constantly managing having an unwieldy backlog of recorded episodes that I haven't published yet and trying to do some of those longer deep dives. But I think to your point, right, like one of the things that encouraged me to start the podcast was, you know, I had a spiritual awakening a few years ago during 2021, during the pandemic. And, you know, that awakening really caused me to realize how full of BS our mainstream media is and how full of lies they are, and how they very much, you know, try to show you a very limited glimpse of the truth or kind of bias the perspective. And I started to recognize the more podcasts that I put together, you know, the more that I could add direct first person evidence, right? So people can hear from other smart voices, not just me. That's not like, hey, these ideas are just coming from Jordan. No, there are a lot of folks who have come to similar conclusions. This work has been built on the backs of giants who for decades have been trying to expose this corruption. And I think, you know, one of the best lessons I've ever learned as it relates to sales is that, you know, when you have communication, what you say is only a small fraction of the impact, right? But actually the inflection in your voice, right? The body language, all that stuff really, really matters. So I think getting to, you know, hear from other people directly has a profound impact on the listener.
Absolutely. There's a resonance of truth, right? There's a higher frequency. I think that if you're truly trying to assist people, there's something about the way that you're saying it. It's not just the words. It's something about the heart, right, that's coming through. I know when I listen to high-level podcasts, there's something about what's getting communicated that's in the vibrational field that that I'm picking up on, like the stuff that's in between the words, I guess is one way to say it. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to that episode, those two episodes in particular that we're talking about, and I'm like, God dang, he has really gone down the rabbit holes. Like, I was recognizing, like, mine was a 20-year kind of journey down rabbit holes that started, you know, it kind of started with crop circles, but just in awe of these giant fractal things. I was, you know, the mystery of crop circles is what piqued my interest, but it was really almost like 9/11 for me, was one big red pill, because I was living in New York City and I was like, hey, what about Tower 7? Like, that's a 47-story building. Like, why? Nothing hit that. Like, you know, and people are like, hey, you know, keep quiet. Like, what are you, a conspiracy theorist? I'm like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just asking, what about Tower 7? Like, that's a giant skyscraper. And you're telling me it fell because there was a few office towers. Like, that's not really flying on the truth radar very well, right? And so that, you know, everything that went with 9/11 kind of was my first. And then I got into David Icke stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, like, people are like, holy shit, you're reading David Icke. But to me, like, he helped me set up in my own mind what the power grid looked like for the globalists. Like, because he was talking all about the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group, yeah, and the Club of Rome and the Trilateral Commission. And the way that he did it, you know, forget the ET thing for a second. The way that he just showed all how the deep state controls governments and corporations and the media, it was brilliant. And when I was reading his stuff, I was like, oh my God, of course, this makes all the sense in the world, right? It was a big aha. And then, so by the time, like, fast forward 15 years or 20 years, by the time Q and all that stuff came out, my consciousness was primed. I was already kind of nodding my head at a lot of the things that they were talking about, but it was 20 years in the making. So how did you, what was it like for you? Because you know, you couldn't have put that episode together, those two episodes together, without a deep dive and, like, steeped in it enough to really understand it, you know, because I still learned stuff from your episodes, because I didn't even know what Edge Foundation was. I was not really looking at that point. I had enough evidence of what the enemy looked like. But, you know, I was like, wow, this guy's really done a deep dive himself. So I just kind of wanted to ask you, like, what did your awakening into the nature of the beast, or the nature of the deep state, or the psychopath, however you want to phrase, you know, who's on the other side of this battle, basically.
Totally. Yeah. My awakening was a little bit more abrupt, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd say, you know, most of my life, you know, I've always been interested in foreign policy and international affairs. You know, coming out of undergrad, I thought that was going to be my path. Ended up going more the business route. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that background helped me recognize the U.S. foreign policy was much more imperialistic than, you know, maybe we're often told. Mm-hmm. But I still was able to have that cognitive dissonance that, okay, but yeah, we could have empire abroad but maintain democracy at home. Mm-hmm. And then a year or two before the pandemic, a good friend of mine recommended John Perkins' book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So that was, I'd say, my gateway drug to the true nature of reality. Mm-hmm. You know, and then also growing up, I'd say, you know, I had a bar mitzvah. My dad's Jewish, my mom's Catholic, but neither of them were very religious. Mm-hmm. And I'd say as I got older, you know, believed the kind of dogma of scientific materialism, that if you believe in God, you aren't scientific, right? That they're antithetical.
Yeah.
But thankfully, I've lived in Denver for about 8 years, which has always been a very psychedelics forward type environment. Yeah. So I had the opportunity to work with psychedelics a few times, had some impactful experiences, but just didn't really have the spiritual context to really understand what had happened.
Yeah.
And then in May of 2021, both of my business partners had recommended Dr. Stephen Greer's documentary, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that film?
Yep, I am.
Yep, yep. And so for the listeners, if you're not, that documentary is all about the extraterrestrial phenomenon, and it gets into the cover-up as well, but it's also much more about the true nature of consciousness, the nature of the divine, the fact that all these spiritual teachings really have much more overlap than they have disconnect, despite the way that our organized religions of today try to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
In that film, it didn't mention psychedelics at all, but a lot of the experiences that I'd had really resonated with what Stephen Greer was talking about in that film.
Yeah.
And during that experience, you know, my third eye was going crazy, right? Like, I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know what that was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very cloudy night, but like, I knew that there were extraterrestrials of love and light with me, that what I was hearing was profound truth. Mm-hmm. And a week after that, I bought a book that Greer recommends, which is called The Holographic Universe, possibly the best book I've ever read. Mm-hmm. And I decided to really explore deep consciousness with a high dose of LSD that day. And in doing so, I had that breakthrough moment of transcendence where I recognized that all of the universe is love, that there is no such thing as death, that we are eternal. And that really helped validate a lot of the ideas that I'd been exposed to by Dr. Greer. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, I've just been 2 feet down the rabbit hole, you know, learning everything I can about what the heck's actually going on.
It's odd because, like, the psychedelic vision, if you were to say anything about it with all the visionaries that have been spokespeople for the psychedelic vision, is that it confirms basically the quantum theory that reality is multidimensional, and it's really about vibration and frequency, which Tesla talked about, right? There's like all the smartest people, whether they're visionaries and artists and psychedelic, you know, pioneers, or they're on the quantum physics side, they're all seem to be talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's odd because ultimately there's this kind of battle between good and evil that looks like it's the final say so, right? Like, but it's really, when you look at it through that lens, it may just be a third dimensional, fourth dimensional vibration that we have these myths like Star Wars, you know, the resistance against the one, you know, whatever, the First Order. You've got, you know, Lord of the Rings, like some of our greatest tellings of good, evil mythology, that it's just embedded in our subconscious. But when you read or experience psychedelics, you're starting to get a higher frequency, a higher dimension. And I don't know, like if you read Law of One basically says, look, there's polarity. You're experiencing massive polarity in your third dimensional reality. It's true for fourth and fifth dimensional reality too. And then Law of One says in sixth dimension, all polarities are reconciled. There is mm-hmm. just one of you here. You just think there's separation, and it's teaching you a lot. So the mystic psychedelic explorer would say there really isn't a battle, but we experience it as this kind of life and death thing right now. Like I feel I can go up above and transcend and go, okay, it's all in spirit's hands. We got this, Jordan. There really isn't a battle. We're just playing these parts to help awaken consciousness to the fact that there's just one. However, my other foot wants to see this country on better footing, right? Like, so there's some, I came here for both. Like, does that make sense to you? Like I'm talking
absolutely
in layers. Like I'm in the fight. I'm in the fight for truth and freedom and for humanity. There has been the children, like there's all kinds of stuff that is fucked up about what's going on. And I think maybe I came here to help cultivate courage in my tribe to face what's going on. And then there's a part of me that understands up above, there's a lot of freedom and maybe it just gets worked out up above. I don't have to know all the details. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. You know, and for me, it really resonates with the kind of core principle of the Rosicrucian Order and, you know, when it was originally founded by good people, not, you know, the way it's been corrupted over time.
Sure.
But yeah, that, you know, that fundamentally the human experience is about us being spirits of love and freedom. Mm-hmm. Right. And that love is that unity that you're talking about, that oneness, and the freedom is us coming here on this, in this realm to experience the illusion of duality, right. To forget that unity so that we have the opportunity to remember it.
Yeah. That's beautiful. What are your thoughts on the secret space program? I just did a long form show about it. I think I was pretty happy with it. It was a challenging episode for me to put together. It took a long time to put together, kind of like one of your longer ones. And basically I was using a lot of Dr. Sala's stuff, who, you know, he's basically saying, look, there's multiple secret space programs. There's the Navy secret space program. There's Air Force. There's, you know, Space Force has now been consolidating all American space assets. And there's been a deception. There's been the deep states had theirs going out of Antarctica. And, you know, and basically you're left with this kind of, you know, it looks to me, it's almost like the hermetic principle, as above, so below, as below, so above, that just like there is a push and pull for power right now between the deep state and humanity, so above there is this kind of galactic push and pull between pro-humanity ETs and you know, ones that want to continue to enslave and use Earth as a colony for resources and labor. What is your thoughts on that? Are we basically a proxy war for something galactic, or is that just, again, a way of looking at it through a particular lens?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's both, right? I think I do agree that it's some type of galactic battle. But I think, you know, to your point about, you know, in the sixth dimension, all is unified, like even that thousand year intergalactic battle, right, is still just a limited way of viewing reality. You know, with regards to what's actually going on with the secret space program, man, like I've been involved in the CE5 organization here in Denver for a few years. I've recently had the opportunity to join the John Mack Institute advisory board as well. And the more I research what's actually going on in the secret space program, the more I'm like, I don't have a fucking clue. You know? Now, one thing I'll tell you, and I know one of the topics you wanted to talk about is, you know, what's really been going on with Trump and the QAnon movement and everything. And, you know, one of the biggest breakthroughs for me in my journey. So just take a step back. I mentioned my awakening was in May of 21, you know, came to recognize that there was a massive cover up with the UFO phenomenon. But, you know, I thought that I didn't understand how dark and deep that piece of it was. Yeah. I thought, okay, we just got to expose whatever's going on here. But then we get the good news of there's love and light and there is God and unity. And there are these esoteric technologies that we can develop for humanity, blah, blah, blah. Just, you know, very naive on my part to just not know what was really going on.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I continued on my journey, also came across David Icke's work. Another of the best books I've ever read is his book, Everything You Need to Know, But Have Never Been Told. And I'd heard kind of bits and pieces about what was really going on in the human trafficking networks and MKUltra and that kind of thing. But his book was the first time where I was like, holy shit, are they really doing this to children, right?
I know.
Yeah. And so I'd say for, I don't know, maybe a year, year and a half after that point, like it was. I don't want to say it was dark, but it was just like, it was hard for me. Right. Cause I felt like I have this duty to do everything I can to help these children. And so one of the first big two-part essays I wrote was one about who is Hillary Rodham Clinton, and went real deep down the rabbit hole there. And, you know, right around the time as I was coming out of that, I was working with psychedelics as well that time. And I had a really profound download from some type of higher being that said, hey, don't worry. Like, I know you're worried, but they've already been saved. This was probably late 2022.
Yeah.
And to your point, you know, one of the things that really clicked for me and that I realized was that and again, this is just kind of speculation and intuition from that download, but what they were showing me was that they were saved in the way that they had to be saved, because as you know, there is some nefarious supernatural entities involved, right? Be they were the reptilians, you know, I think that's definitely a piece of it. Yeah. What they showed me was that in the rescue effort, there were good aliens as well that were working with the good guys within the military to save us. And that's how things have been restored, you know, and I know we're talking about this a week or two ago, you know, I don't want to like let my foot off the gas and then be wrong. And, you know, we get screwed, but I do think that the hard work has already been done. And now we're at this point where it's just about waking everybody up in a way that's going to avoid civil war.
Yeah, I get you. I'm with you totally. Yeah. I get why people don't want to look at the children, and the adrenochrome stuff, it's grisly. And you have to have the right, like, I know what they're doing. I've been down the rabbit hole enough that I don't really need to go down any more of that rabbit hole, because it was confirmed for me a bunch of different ways. And I'm like, oh my God, this is horrendous. Mm-hmm. But to your point, you know, I think it made sense to me when I was, because I think one of the things that a lot of people, because they can't get their head around, they're like, people would never do that. And what I always say is, like, they're not really people the way that you think they are. Yeah. Like, you're, it could be a completely different species. Like, if we're talking about reptilians, yeah, they don't like humans. They maybe have eaten human children as what they do in their, right, in their rituals. I mean, there's enough put out there. And at the very least, those at the top are psychopaths and sociopaths with no feeling for humanity. So it really, whether or not you say they're a different ET race or they're a hybrid or they're a different bloodline, we can all agree that they don't operate in a pro-humanity way. They don't like us. They don't like our children. Yeah. They see us as useless eaters. So when you see it through that lens, then you're like, oh, okay, well, now what they do does make sense. As grisly as they are, as fucked up as that is, Jordan, at least if you said they're not like you at all. They hate mm-hmm. your tribe, by the way. You're an existential threat to them. It's like, oh, well, now that makes sense. If we're an existential threat, they may want to trim our numbers, kill us off, make us sterile, put us in encampments, like, do weird shit with kids. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it starts to,
totally,
at least I understand the motivation, right? By framing it that way, I'm like, oh, of course. Yeah. You're a different species and you hate us. Okay. Thank you. Now, can we proceed with the conversation? Right. Does that make sense?
It 100% makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on that note, I mean, a couple of things I'd highlight, like, if folks are familiar with Kathy O'Brien's story, you know, she always says they are not like us and they do not like us.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Liz Crokin?
Yeah, I am.
She's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
She just interviewed on her podcast a couple weeks ago one of the survivors of Jeffrey Epstein's victims, a woman named Virginia. I can't remember her last name. But in that interview, Virginia says at one point, Jeffrey Epstein was raping her. And for like 10 seconds, he transformed into reptilian.
Oh, little shapeshifter.
Crazy.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
like,
it's,
look, maybe she's just lying, but everything else she said fits everything else that's come out about Epstein. She didn't sound like she was lying. Like, I don't know.
I remember reading where, and I could never really quite get the source of it, but they said that there was a actual video of Princess Diana when they said, hey, what's something about the royal family that nobody knows? And she said, without thinking, she goes, that they're not human.
Wow.
And that was a video of that, somebody said. And now I don't know if it's true. You know, I could see her answering that way. But you know, in this day and age with deep fakes and clones, I don't know if it was actually what happened, what she said about that, but it would make a lot of sense if she did, right? You're like, oh yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, and I loved, you know, at the end of the episode that we're talking about, you know, you basically had a fuck you to mm-hmm. to the globalists. Like, you were great. You named all of the members, or a lot of the members of the Edge Foundation. You did a deep dive into some of these other, you know, the Bilderberg you talked about a bit, but you named all the people, these billionaires and these elites who attended these things. And basically, you were basically saying, fuck you, Leo, fuck you, Bill Gates, fuck you, Tony Fauci. And I loved it because I feel like where I'm at, like, I don't know. Like, I was so disappointed, Jordan, during the COVID lockdowns. Like, I thought it was a golden opportunity for people to exercise their courage and say, look, okay, Bill Gates and Tony Fauci and Governor Inslee. You have these mandates, but man, people didn't push back at all. Like they just went, I was like so blown away. I'm like, men, I've done men's work, men's personal development work my whole life. I'm like, men, where are your fucking balls? Like, are you kidding me? Like, no, we're not going along with this. And people just did. And I wanted to read you a couple of memes and then hand it to you about this particular topic. So there's one from Hoddle Knot who says, quote, "The world has a huge coward problem," unquote. And then one from Freedom Over the Matrix who says, quote, "The crazy part about these things or these times, the crazy part about these times is that people are more loyal to the ones who want to control and kill them than to the people who are trying to save them and lead them to truth," unquote. And I totally experienced this as I thought once I started speaking out that, you know, I'm in Seattle, it's super liberal here. I thought there would be at least some dominoes that would fall my way, you know, that people would be like, hey, he's speaking the truth to power. We, you know, I'm feeling this. I don't want to wear a mask all the time. I don't want to, you know, get this COVID shot or I lose my job. Like, I want to stand up for the people that are standing for freedom. And it was crickets, man. It was me and my wife, my friend Howard, my friend Roy, and like five other people. Other than that, everybody's like, hey, you know, shut up and go along with the program. And yeah. I don't know how it was in Denver. I lost a ton of friends, you know, to this day, they're just like, no. He's a crazy, you know, conspiracy theorist. He, you know, they could never see what I was talking about. And so I'm like, all right, well, fuck you guys. I guess I'm doing my own thing. But how was it for you? I was shocked. I really was. I really thought people, men in particular, but all kinds of people, I thought people were going to be like, no, we're not going along with this. And dude, I was like a lone wolf, man.
Yeah, no, I've had a very similar experience. You know, the more I've talked about it, like, I've definitely lost a lot of friends. You know, my family has not been happy about it at all, to put it mildly. But yeah. The truth is what's most important. And, you know, moral courage is a rare attribute than bravery in battle, right? And I really believe that. And, you know, I think Stockholm Syndrome is very real. The cabal mm-hmm. certainly understands that. You know, I mean, they have a lot of weapons in their toolkit, right? There's no doubt. But I think one of the ones that they've refined the most is psychological warfare.
For sure.
They know how to manipulate us. And I think to your point about, you know, men, I mean, you look at to tyrants throughout history, right? The folks who stand them down are always military aged men. Mm-hmm. Again, the cabal knows that, right? So why are they, you know, pumping all of our food with atrazine and glyphosate and our water with fluoride, right? There and you know, as a former member of the Democratic Party, you see how much that has worked to cuck men, to break the bonds between men and women. And it's been devastating. But you know, on the flip side, I think and Bobby Kennedy did a great kind of commentary on this recently, where he's talking about, like, you know, everyone comes over to our side, right? We don't lose anyone to their side.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Glenn Beck as well. He always talks about, you know, the people who are awake today, they are wide awake and they are getting their shit together. They are getting armed. They are recognizing how important that Second Amendment is. Yeah. And they are not going to let these fuckers take our country without a fight.
Exactly. I love it. Are you a devolution guy? Do you think that we're in contingency government right now? I see some pretty good arguments by a lot of smart people and including some generals who, like Quast and stuff, who are like, you know, they keep hinting at it. They can't say what's going on, of course, but there's a lot of indications that, you know, that this next coming election, I don't know if there will be an election personally. Yeah, there might be. I think the deep state is going to try some crazy ass shit. There's going to probably be a false flag or two coming our way. I don't know what that looks like. Everybody's just kind of hunkered down. But I do think Trump's the commander in chief. I don't think he never did hand over the football to Biden. And I think Biden is controlled by the White Hats right now. And I know that liberals would freak out. So what do you think of that? Do you think we are looking at devolution? You've seen enough evidence to confirm it.
I have, yeah. And, you know, that's something that took me a little while to come around to. I kind of first heard about the idea from a good friend of mine who I grew up with. And she brought that idea up to me when we did an interview about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really came, and I the more I was open to it, the more kind of stuff I was seeing that kind of helped confirm that, as well as that, that download I mentioned to you at the end of 2022, you know, really kind of supported that that's what's really going on.
Yeah.
And one of the podcast series I'm working on right now is a deep dive into Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And as part of that research, it brought me back to the 2016 election, as well as the work of a QAnon writer named Paul Farber, I think it is, or Karger, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote a book called Q, the greatest military intelligence drop of all time, something like that.
Yeah.
And reading that and kind of checking the sources he talked about, that really confirmed for me that I think we are, that we're in this devolution phase right now that, frankly, the good guys have already won. And now we're just kind of getting to, you know, as they say, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Are you, so you're, it sounds like you're really optimistic where we're at with, you know, I think the white hats, you know, they have to show people how close we could be to a great reset by the World Economic Forum, right? They have to show, look, you could have 15-minute cities and central bank digital currencies. You could have all this social credit score, this kind of surveillance panopticon where, you know, there is no freedom technology. It's everything centrally controlled. I mean, it really ought to scare the crap out of people that are looking at it, right? It does for me, where I'm like, oh, you know, and I don't know. I don't know how you feel about, like, we have to be careful. I think you said this on your show too, that, that we have to be careful that we don't, that our consciousness isn't being used to create what they want, right? Like, so for instance, like, I love Bitcoin and I love all the freedom technology and decentralized things that are coming. And I do believe that we're in devolution. I focus on that and what's going to come in the next iteration of humanity. But it would be easy, since they keep shoving it at us in film, in commentary, that you could, it's easy to sort of adopt this kind of view, a more dystopian view, where like, we're going to have social credit scores, we're going to have 15-minute cities where they can just control us. You know, the deep state's going to flip and punch back. And, you know, this whole devolution thing is an illusion. And really, the deep state's just going to ratchet down. Like, you have to be careful. Like, even for me, I think of myself as very awake at this point, but I have to watch out that I don't start to create victim narratives, you know, like with the aerosol spraying, right? They're spraying the shit out of the skies here in Seattle. It's easy for me to go, God damn it, those fuckers are still doing that. Or, you know, something important could happen and the normies wouldn't know because the media is still controlled by the deep state, as far as I can tell. Right. So my point is, like, the thing that for me that I feel like I got to watch out for is watch out subtly, like you had mentioned before, it's a psychological warfare and they're very good at it, right? And you have to be careful that you don't start thinking that it's going to go the way they want it to go, because then now you're kind of creating it for them in your own mind. And our minds are so powerful, our consciousness is so powerful, that we have to be warriors for not only the truth, but for saying, look, we're going to win. I'm my mind is set on that, and I'm focused on the factors that affirm that, and those are my partners. Yourself, you know, all the white hats, everybody that speaks truth. That's our tribe, the pro-humanity tribe, not the ones that are like, you know, oh, AI is going to be great. Wait till we part. It's like, yeah, you know, there maybe AI is going to be good for humanity, but there's also going to be a factor where the deep state really wants to use it against us. So let's just, like, you know what I mean? So that's a big long ramble. I'm basically saying, watch out for being used for their vision, right?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yep. Let's see. In fact, I don't even need to read that. We already just covered that. So where are we at here? What else you want to talk about? Are you a Bitcoin guy? Yeah. You like Bitcoin?
I am. Yeah. I'd love to get into Bitcoin. And one thing I'd want to add just to what you just said.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure other folks on your audience, you know, have had similar experiences we were talking about where, you know, speaking up and speaking truth can mm-hmm. be isolating and you can lose a lot of those legacy contacts. And look, it's obviously that sucks. You know, no one wants that, yes. But you know, I think that those folks are going to come around eventually and, you know, all in due time. And in the meantime, you know, it's opened up these amazing new connections that you and I have gotten to meet. Right. And the folks that are fighting in the battle, like, you know, it's just, it's really an exciting time to be alive and that we have the resources of the internet to now find one another and come together and defeat this tyranny once and for all.
Well, and I know you probably have the same experience. Dude, I have badasses around me now. I have the most courageous people. Like, it just sifted through. Like, you know, and I love my old friends, man. Don't get me wrong. Like, that was a loss to lose these friends that, you know, they were drinking buddies and college buddies. And we were at each other's weddings and all this stuff for 25 years, you know, and then it was just, I fell on the opposite end. All the things we talked about, I was on the other side. And so it created this kind of, okay, I guess that's that. And I've got a different road on my hero's journey. They're at a different spot. They're going to get it when they get it. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. But yeah, I guess I just wanted to say, like, the people that I have around me now, my wife, my son, but also my inner circle family and, you know, the three or four people that I consider close friends now, they're just badasses. They know stuff. They play for humanity. They're fighting the right fight against the globalists. And I'm super happy to have them around me and grateful. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Bitcoin, are you, I see it as a pro-humanity money. I think like Bukele in El Salvador, I think he was supported by the white hats in creating that. I don't know how he could have lived through arresting all of the cartel members in his country without support from the white hats. And I think that was an experiment, that's going very well, I might add. And now, I love Bitcoin. I love that it's decentralized. It's kind of like a decentralized platform that all kinds of really smart developers and pro-humanity, pro-freedom individuals are building on. I think it's I think 10, 15 years from now, if you and I were to talk, we're gonna be like, oh yeah, yeah, we were there at the beginning talking about how excited we were, and now look what got built on top of it, you know?
Yeah. I 100% agree, man. Like, I'm the biggest believer in Bitcoin. And, you know, I think as we talked about psychological warfare being one of the cabal's strongest weapons, you know, the only one I would maybe put up as equally important is their control over the financial system and the central banking system.
Yep.
And that's why Bitcoin's such a threat to them, because it's like, fuck you. We're not going to let you continue to steal all of our wealth through inflation anymore. We don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's people, I think it's slowly seeping into consciousness. I think there's early adopters like us. You know, I keep talking about it incessantly. I've done a bunch of podcasts about it. I just keep trying to spread the signal on it because I just feel like the more people that adopt it, even a little bit at a time, it helps pulling money out of the fiat mentality and system and putting it in the system that we want to build. Again, it's back to what we were talking about earlier, which is like, let's talk and give intention to what we want to see, you know, a sound money that's worth more over time. I don't even know what that looks like. Like we've been so conditioned that, well, it's just money's worth less over time, Jordan. That's just the way it is. You know, yeah, I know college was, you know, when your parents went was, you know, 25,000, but now it's 150,000. That's just the way that goes. And it's like, wait a minute, this is sounding like a scam. Like they just keep printing for them and they sell us this kind of, well, it trickles down to you. I'm like, it's not really trickling down to us, man. It's not worth anything by the time it gets to us and we don't get very much of it. So yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to riff a little bit. Shout out to all the Bitcoiners out there for adopting early, I guess.
Yeah. Tony, on that note, I'd be curious, like, who do you think Satoshi was? is, if he's still alive.
Oh my God. I don't know. You know,
yeah.
Who's Satoshi? It could have been, I think it may have been a group, and I go back and forth between, it was, may have been that early group of like Hal Finney and, and Adam Back and those early cryptography guys. But then there's a part of me that sometimes wonders if it was the military and Jason Lowry and some of the Space Force guys were in on it. You know,
that makes sense, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I go back and forth.
Yeah.
The romantic in me wants to think it was a white hat military, you know, op put in. You know what I mean? Because Jason Lowry talks about how Bitcoin is part of the fifth generation warfare, and it's going to help, you know, fight AI. And he's got all these kind of militaristic ways of seeing Bitcoin. And I'm kind of like, that's not the way I learned about it. But it's an interesting notion. So what about you? What do you think? Who was Satoshi?
Yeah. You know, I think I was similar perspective as you with regards to, you know, the cyberpunks and how the Hal Finney crew is. And yeah. I would imagine they were probably involved.
Yeah.
But I also would not be surprised if there were white hats involved. Right. And I think, I believe that Admiral Mike Rogers, former head of the NSA, has been a big part, if not the leader of the Q movement.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he and or other folks that were good, loyal patriots within the NSA were involved in Bitcoin.
Yeah, I could see that as well. I could see that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got coming up? Like, where can people find your podcast? What do you got going? Anything else you want to tell the listeners about before we sign off?
Yeah, no, check out the podcast. It's called Entangled, Entangled, which is an allusion to the phenomenon of quantum entanglement. It's available on all the podcast platforms. Got one coming out next week. It's an interview I did with the gentleman who did the documentary versions of The Real Anthony Fauci and The Real RFK Jr.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pumped about that one. And then it's going to be followed by a three-part series about Robert F. Kennedy Sr. and kind of his legacy.
Right on. Yeah, and there's a little synchronicity around all the Q devolution stuff that with the Kennedys, right? The assassination of both the brothers, which was this huge traumatic event in our nation. I mean, in a way, it was one of the most traumatic things to happen to us. And they had their eye set on the deep state, on the CIA and dismantling it. And it's like, I don't think back then, you know, they quite had, and you probably know more about this than I do, but I don't think they understood how, they were endangering themselves by not having airtight security around them at all times. If they're gonna be blabbermouths about that, then you better have the right people around you. I think that's why, you know, like Trump, it's a little different now, but also there's airtight security because, you know, the CIA will kill you. If you're an existential threat, they have about 100 million ways to get rid of you. And I just think like the Kennedy brothers back then, probably not quite as sophisticated in what do we have around us. They probably thought, they're not going to pop us. It's like, yeah, they definitely are going to pop you. So anyway, I'm excited to hear about the new episodes coming out. Those are a couple great topics and we'll give you a plug at the end. But Jordan, thanks so much for coming on, sharing your insight and your wisdom. It's always great to talk to somebody that's been down all the rabbit holes I've been down and more. So keep up the great work. We'll watch Entangled and listen to Entangled as you unfold truth. And let's do another episode at some point when we can confirm some of this, you know, like fall, you know, January, right in there. I think it's going to be a really juicy time to maybe have another conversation, because I think we're going to be able to say, hey, look what happened. That didn't happen, but these three things happened. It might be a really fortuitous time to have another talk.
I'd love to, man. Anytime.
Okay.
And thank you, Tony, for everything you're doing. Like, this has been such a blast. Thanks for the invitation to come on the show. And to the audience, thanks for the support. Like, let's bring out the truth.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jordan. Appreciate you.
You too.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. Go check out Jordan's work on the Entangled podcast. It's excellent. His Globalism versus Self-Sovereignty two-parter is fantastic. And go get a t-shirt or a hat from Stand Up Now Apparel at www.standupnowapparel.com and use Basecamp for your code. Thank you, Basecampers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.